The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the first Chris Williams podcast in weeks. It's probably been over a month since I last sat down with my pastor, Scott Hibben, which that was awesome. Thank you all for your comments. I'm still getting comments from people on that one. And I think that might be my favorite thing I've ever done in my career, and the feedback that I got from it. Just people really seem to appreciate that one and hopefully took something from it. I know like families and husbands and wives told me they were listening on their road trips and stuff. So that was really cool. That's the type of stuff I want to do on here. I'm not doing this to make a ton of money or anything like that. I just want to kind of branch out and do some different things. The last month of my life has been completely turned upside down. Battling COVID-19. A lot of you know that I've been doing that. The good news is I never went on a ventilator or died. The bad news is I'm still, it is crazy how many people have asked me to talk about this. And I don't want to talk about myself too much, but that's a lot of people are telling me, you're the only person I know who's had it. And so I thought maybe I would tell you guys a little bit about my experience with it today. Here on the podcast, and I got a special guest. He is my father, Michael David Williams. We call him Big Captain Mike, and we're out here at the Lake of the Ozarks right now, overlooking the main channel. What mile marker are we on, Dad?
Oh, 19. You ought to know that, son.
So, but I thought the Grand Grays Bridge was zero.
No, actually.
Where's zero? Where's like where does it start?
At the dam.
Oh, and yeah, okay, I knew that.
And there's two dams, 0 and 96.
Okay.
And we're at 19, so we're right with
So 96 is like Warsaw, right?
Yes.
Over in that area?
Yep.
You pull your microphone up just a smidge.
Okay,
there you go. Perfect.
Oh, all right.
There you go, that's perfect. How many years have you been down here?
My goodness, I'm 65 years old. I came down here when I was 8, 9, 10, 11 years old.
And you haven't missed many years.
No, we really haven't. And the old story, you know, when you heard your dad talk, well, back in the day, well, I've got a lot of back in the day things at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah,
and
you
my
do.
God, has it changed.
Friend of mine, she'll probably listen to this, is trying to buy a house down here. And I was telling her, well, you just talked to my dad. He knows everything there is to know about this lake. Is there an inch of this lake that you haven't boated to?
Not if we could not turn up mud, no.
Yeah. So, and if you guys haven't been down here, this lake is it's a behemoth. Like, I've tried to explain, like, how big this lake is to, like, my Okoboji friends and stuff like that. And I don't think anybody can really comprehend. It's all these, like, rivers that run together.
Yep, three rivers several years ago, they built another bridge closer to the dam that connected to the inside part of the lake, and that place, that was not developed.
Okay.
It is now.
Yep.
And so, you know, a lot of the times the width of the lake is maybe a quarter mile, but it gets to half or three quarters sometimes, and it's not straight. It's like a dog's crazy leg. You go 4 miles and then turn and go another 4 miles and turn another direction. But it is one of the most popular tourist places in central United States.
They call it the Redneck Riviera.
A lot of money down here.
There is a lot of money down here.
And, you know, there's a lot of early on, you know, conservative homes, but there are some homes that just take your breath away.
Yeah, they're massive. So we're down here on vacation this week, and I wanted to do more with Dad. I think he's actually a really entertaining guy to listen to and tell stories and all that stuff. So we're going to do that here for the next hour or so. We're overlooking the main channel, as I said. I'm sipping on, I like to tell you guys what I'm sipping on, a little Pendleton whiskey tonight. This is only the second, really the second drink I've had since the COVID deal. And, okay, so I'm just going to get the basics out of the way. Those of you who are, like, religious listeners to the radio show and stuff have heard this stuff. But, man, Dad, I've had so many people. I bet close to 100 people. Some I know, some I don't, who have reached out to me and said, you're the first person, like, a real person I know who's had this thing.
Well, you know, your mom and I live down in Clarendon, southwest Iowa. So, it actually happened, you know, you started hearing stuff, and then I worked for Hy-Vee for 33 years, and then at 50, I got out and got my own lawn service, and then I drove the school, which I dearly loved, on Sunday night, the 14th of March, we got the call that no school.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't a happy call. And, you know,
so that was after we had all come back from Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, yes. And, you know, it kind of really got rolling then. And again, we're down in the rural area. We don't see and hear as much as you do in the Des Moines area, but, and I think now as time's going on and it's true all over, some people take heed and some people don't.
Yeah. I was proud of you and Mom. I didn't know how seriously you guys would take it at first, to be honest with you, because just what you said, like, not anything against you, just more down there. And it's just so different, like, even down here at the lake. You know, we coming from Des Moines where, you know, and I've been trying to unplug, but it sounds like they're going to try and do a mask mandate in the city as long as Governor Reynolds cooperates with that. And, I mean, like, down – I was kind of floored when I went back home, I don't know, 5 weeks ago, like that. But I was talking to a buddy of mine who does my taxes today, and he lives in rural Iowa. And he's just like, yeah, we're not doing any of that stuff here. Like, it is such a different world, like, when you get out of the city when it comes to this stuff. And I didn't know how you and Mom would do. But you guys, like, really hunkered down. I was proud of you guys.
No, we really did, and we're not really freaking out. And it's like we debated whether to come down on this vacation.
Yeah.
And then after you so got it, it's like, holy darn. And this is our family place, and if you look north, we see a police boat coming up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's pretty.
But we're going to, and we talked it over, and we're basically all the family staying in one condo, and then we boat, and so we're really not being in
pretty isolated here.
There's people, but we're not really in contact with them. And then when we're out on a boat, is definitely no situation at all. But you know, when you got sick, we're really up a little bit against the timeline. Is, are you going to be healthy when we come down? And I'm seeing it firsthand. The big problem's over, but Chris is still not lung-wise. You know, we got, what, I don't know, 6-8 blocks walk to the boat, and we have to go down some steps. And he's manning up, but he's not 100%, and I don't think he's we're not going to get any COVID from him. But
no, I'm past that.
But his lungs are not – he's not – and we're trying to help out as much as he can, and he doesn't want to be a problem, but he had it pretty dang good.
The biggest thing is – I mean, I would say I'm probably anywhere between, like, 60 and 70% just because of my – like, even talking to you, like, I still get winded. I just don't have any lung capacity, which is hard when you – broadcast for a living. But then, like, I have no energy at all. Like, I could still sleep all day. It's frustrating. I don't know where I got it from. Everybody, it's a couple of things people keep asking me. One, where did you get it? And then they want to know what it's like. I don't know where I got it. I'm not perfect with a mask, but I try and be responsible. And since I got it, I'm going to wear one all the time because it's more of a respect thing for me and that type of thing. I mean, I'm hopefully since I've had it, that's a good sign for me selfishly that if I would contract it again, that it wouldn't be bad. But I don't know where I got it. I still can't smell, which is like, whatever. That's the least of my concern. Days probably 4 and 5 were absolute hell, but I just wanted to keep going. I wanted to keep broadcasting, doing all that stuff. Cause I wanted to be able to, it was weird. Like we had people calling into the radio show, like asking questions about symptoms and stuff. And it's so bizarre when you watch the news and you see these hundreds of thousands or now millions of people really in our country that have had it. And I think that's what I don't even know. But then like here in Iowa, it's like all these people are like, they don't know anyone, you know, it's just so crazy. Like how this thing's worked.
And, you know, we felt so hapless when you became ill that we can't come up to help.
No, because we don't want to do that to you.
And you wouldn't let us anyway. But you know, as a dad and a mom, you want to help. And, you know, you can't come up and get the kids and take them away because you don't know.
The worst part about this, too, having gone through it, the by far the worst part is the contract tracing thing and, like, screwing with other people's plans. And then, you know, like that part of it was hell. Like hearing about, like, you know, Bloom told me a story about how people were calling his daycare asking if his kid's been around me. And this is like Ross's kid couldn't play in a baseball game. I know that my nieces and nephews had the similar deal because they had been around me. That part really blows.
And you know, the grandkids, they love you so much. And, yeah, they missed some games, but they kind of understood.
Yeah, they're old enough.
And my daughter and her husband, they live out 3 miles west of town, and there's probably 12 houses out there. So they've got a community within a community, and all the people know you. And, you know.
They're like, wasn't he just in town?
And Jenny and Nick called them and told them the situation that our kids are going to be in quarantine.
Yeah.
And they respected that, but it's still hard, you know.
Do people, because I even see it like up in the city, like how many people back home like think it's fake? Or do the people think it's fake back home, or did they think it's overblown? I think there might be there's a difference there. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I love your daughter.
Your
sister, excuse me.
Oh, my sister, okay.
And she works at the hospital, and at first, I think she thought it was all overhyped.
I think a lot of the medical people did at first. Yeah.
And she wouldn't make that comment today.
No.
And we haven't been hit like you have up there, but she's quite convinced there's probably a lot more going around that people, you know, the testing isn't done and asymptomatic. And it's a, you know, the 4th of July is one of my favorite holidays. I was never in the service. I had, two brothers that were, and, so and my dad, and I honored the flag with all my heart. And, even though I didn't serve, I still love my country, and you know, it has flaws just like anything else, but, there's a little town, about 5 miles east of Clarinda, and it's maybe 1,000 people, and it's probably not even 1,000.
Oh,
they put on a 4th of July thing, and
Newmarket doesn't have 1,000; they got hundreds, maybe.
Yeah, and that's 10 or 12,000 population on that day.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
and I got a little Ford Mustang I like to show off once in a while and go in the parade.
What do you mean once in a while? That's like your third kid, man.
So we opted not to go over there that day, and it actually, I thought they were taking a big risk. I mean, I really do, and I respect the people and know them really good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their biggest, and they put it on, and the way I understand the way it took out, they have a parade that's about 1 hour and 20 minutes long, and they had as many entries as they normally do.
Mm-hmm.
But the number of people watching, and it was worth having, but it was way down from what normal.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they put a 4th of July fireworks deal on that would be equivalent to anything in the state. And so we didn't go over that day. And just because, one, I think they were taking a risk. And then, two, that was 1 week either earlier than what we were going to go on vacation. And I didn't want to take that chance and not be able to go on vacation. Now, we did go watch the fireworks, but we sat on the road and we weren't around anybody. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of people that don't think it's a big deal, and a lot of people do.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, it's been eye-opening down here. I don't think many people
no,
down here are too concerned about it.
No, we went in the grocery store the other night.
Oh.
Well, and actually went to Dick's, and they were all had masks on.
Yeah, I think that was a corporate mandate.
Yeah, and the grocery store did. And now, we haven't really come in contact hardly with anybody at the condo, but yeah. I haven't seen a mask since.
Well, we're outside, you know, and we see most of the people. Like, they're getting out of their boats. It's not.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, so I want to thank everybody for reaching out. A lot of friends listen to this pod, and then a lot of my most loyal followers. So thanks, guys. I'll be fine. But it is – I probably wasn't as open early on about this as I not necessarily should have been, but I don't think I let everything on. It's been a really long recovery. For me specifically, some people have – you know, who I've talked to are like, oh, yeah, I just had a fever. That has not been the case for me. I'm probably 60-70%, but I'm gaining. I don't feel pain, other than when you start to feel like you're suffocating. That's just a scary thing. But I'm still trucking. I will say, Dad, that the sports thing is really scaring me, only in the sense, and I'm. Listen, like, and this is one of the things, Dad, I think that you will agree with me. You know, it really pisses me off more than anything. Like, you can want sports to happen and football to happen and still, like, respect the virus and not want people to die. Like, I don't know why this country – wait, let me ask you this. When in this country, in your opinion – how old are you now? 65?
65.
When in this country do you remember all of a sudden you had to pick, like, a side – where you're either one extreme or the other, and if you're not, then they ridicule you. Because I feel like I'm always lost. I feel like I'm always stuck, and it really pisses me off because for multiple reasons.
Well, I think it's changed. You know, there were hitting a lot of things in the last 3 months that I've never witnessed before.
Yeah,
and I try and have an open mind, and you know, just like. I didn't do the lawn stuff this year, and every time we had a situation that we could have time to do something, we erred on not doing it because that was the right thing to do. And, you know, as the summer thing opened up across the country, I think we didn't ease into it, and now we got us into a bigger problem.
But you know what I mean on the football thing, though?
Oh.
Like... So now, like, they're going to paint it this way, the two political sides. So the Republicans are going to say that the Democrats and the people who think that we should delay this stuff are, pardon my French, but just I won't say it, but a bunch of wimps, and they're soft and they're woke. And then the Democrats will point at the Republicans and the right-wingers and say, well, you guys just – you don't care if my grandma dies. And, right, like, you're all about money and not about human lives. But, like, my point is, why can't we all, like, agree that, like, college football, for instance, is a huge economic driver in our state that employs hundreds of people – when you factor in restaurants and hotels, thousands of people, why can't we like respect the virus and like sit here and be like, man, I really want this to happen, you know?
Well, I, you know, there's nobody loves sports more than I do. And
at least we got NASCAR.
Yes. But It was Monday. How many Iowa high school baseball teams shut down?
I know.
And to me, baseball has less contact than what football is going to. I don't know how they're going to play high school football.
I don't, yeah.
And then,
frankly, I don't know if they should.
No, I actually did.
I think there's a difference, though, when you get up because the money, you know, and the conferences.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you've driven the bus for the Clarinda football team for how long? I mean, how the hell are they going to test all those guys?
Well, and they're not going to have the testing that you have at Iowa State.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I'm not going to drive this year. I retired, but I know.
Congrats.
Well, I loved every minute of it, but they had a. When it first came out, before baseball started, Glenwood, which is 50 miles away, the stipulation was they could have 13 people or 15 on an 83-passenger bus. And a school, you can't send five buses to – I mean, sooner or later, the financial thing come up. And then they changed it to, I think, if the kids – they told them they had to wear a mask, and you could sit them one seat – one person per seat with all the windows open, and that's kind of what they're doing. Now, I don't know technically in Southwest Iowa that we've had a school had a problem yet, but I know up into Des Moines,
Woodbine,
50 miles. Right about, oh, yeah. You're talking a lot of them, and they've already started for the state, so the brackets are going to be crazy.
For just some live play-by-play, we got a pontoon out there without its lights on.
No, actually, he does have.
No, he had turned it off. I think he might be having a malfunction. You see him? You can't even see him, Dad. No. He's going the other
actually,
way.
Actually, if you look, the light is so dim, it's not like. And then if he's going, he's coming at us. He's got no red and green lights.
Is he having electrical problems?
Probably so.
I think he is.
Yep.
Hope that guy gets back okay. That terrifies me. You love the nighttime boat ride.
Yep.
It kind of creeps me out. I won't lie. The older I get, like, I'm not. I grew up on this lake, so it's not like I'm afraid of it. The nighttime boat ride, the black water kind of freaks me out.
Well, it does, and to be honest with you, we haven't gone out yet. If we would, we'd probably go 7 to 9 and be back. The biggest thing that scares me is the alcohol.
Yeah.
And not everybody drinks, but a lot of those boats go fast, and they don't slow down, and...
Especially for little guys like us, you know?
Yeah, they've had less problems this year. Last year, my God, every time you got on there was a boat running into a side of another boat or hitting the deal, and it's all because of alcohol. And I do have a policy when I leave the dock in my boat, I guarantee I'm going to bring everybody back.
Yeah, and you always have.
And so I enjoy it, but it is... And if you haven't been down here, we're looking, and the whole shoreline is full of houses. So it's lit up. And then if you get your full moon, it's like driving with your headlights on.
Yep.
Now, we don't have a full moon this week. But
we did have Jupiter last night.
Yep, yep.
So we've had – Ross and I have been doing the radio show where we're trying to – somewhat keep things light when you're talking to many people who have lost their jobs and livelihoods, many people who are deeply hurt because of the racial tensions in our country, many very conflicted people out there, sick people with COVID. I feel like we're in a really weird spot in our country, and you have to be very careful about the words you choose, and,
yep.
and you have to think things deeply, which is good. I'm glad we're having those conversations. But do you, like, in your life, do you compare it, is this like, would you compare it to like Vietnam? Is there any time or is it so different now because of social media and the internet that here's my fear, is that I just feel like with cell phones and everybody's so like interconnected now, I kind of feel like we're going to live in chaos for the rest of eternity. And I hope I'm wrong.
Well, I hope you're wrong too. I'm probably a guy with a cup half full.
Yeah, you are. Empty. I'm a half empty. You're half full.
And
I've changed. I used to be more half full, and I'm more half empty now.
Last June 13th, I lost a brother, and his health wasn't that great. And that maybe wasn't a shock. And then 4 days later, my oldest brother, which had been in Vietnam, and during he was in the area where they were shooting that Agent Orange.
Yep.
And I think that's he it took him 40 years to get that.
Which a lot of those guys, if you do some research, are finally starting to
so be impacted. I lost two brothers in 4 days. And I tell you, that'll humble you pretty quick.
What a deal.
And I thought the whole family handled that pretty good. And then, you know, we turn around and get through winter and or almost get through winter. And then this hits, and there ain't no book on this.
No.
So you either have to suck it up, and I don't care what. You can disagree. It's real. And, you know, it's not going to go away tomorrow. So we got to – this is going to be hopefully not a game changer forever.
Do you remember, though, the do you remember Vietnam? Like, was everybody at each other's throats back then?
No. Well, you know, I think after they started coming home, there was some stuff. My oldest brother was, you know, he was stationed over there in two different stints, and he was in an area, and it was terrible. He was in communications, and he was atop of us hill, and so he'd be talking to aircraft, and they'd come in and bomb, and the area that he, you know, there was heavy on Agent Orange, and he never really got shot at so much, but going down the hill, I mean, he... I had people tell me that came back to his funeral that that was hell, literally, where he was. And that it was amazing that anybody walked away from there. But that Agent Orange got a bunch of them. And sometimes it was 6 months, sometimes it was 6 years, and sometimes it was 40 years.
Yeah. I just, like, do you remember, though, back then, like, did it seem like neighbors were fighting?
No.
Like, I mean, because that's what it feels like
no,
now.
No, 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 it's completely different.
And I won't lie. Like, I, like, down here, and for the record, like, up until this last election, I was a registered Republican. I won't vote for the party again until Donald Trump is gone. I've said that. I think he's that horrible. I think he's that big of a divider. I don't care what his politics are. I don't think he's a good human being. Like I've seen like Trump signs here and I get mad.
A lot of flags out.
You know, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like when George Bush was president or Barack Obama, maybe Obama was starting to turn, I felt. But like when Ronald Reagan was president, did people just like fight over politics all the time? Or do we just see it now more because of social media and stuff?
I do. 'Cause usually if you go back several years when there was a crisis, they all came together.
Yeah, that's what I felt, too.
And whether they were completely...
Even 9/11, yeah, you know?
And they just, whatever they did, do it. And they were all on the same page. Well, we're so divided in there, that's what makes it scary.
I'm with you, man.
And I hope I'm wrong.
I'm scared to death.
We got a long way to go, and I don't know if we can ever get it back. Hopefully we can. But, you know, this COVID thing has hit here, where it's not hitting some, you know. So it's hitting close to home, and... it really, when that hurricane hit New Orleans, Katrina.
Yeah.
And the response was terrible. You know, it was almost 2 weeks before they started. And I'm thinking, and I love my country, but it's like, that wasn't impressive the way we handled that.
No.
And I really, and as farther we get away from the start of this COVID, the less I'm convinced that the government's, they're not on the same page.
No,
and we haven't handled it very well.
Yeah, I'm so like let's get to sports with this deal. Baseball gets delayed. Even the NCAA tournament, you're like, well, you know, this is a deal where like it was new to us. We were all kind of scared. Basketball playoffs get delayed, and it's kind of like can live with it. I always had my NASCAR and stuff like that that was still going. But, like, I don't, like I'm going to be really crushed without football season. Like, it – and I know that you – it's in your blood, too. I just know how when this all started, not having racing impacted me probably deeper than anything. And it's because, like, for me, racing is more of a family culture thing than it is even a sport. But not having Iowa State football or not having the Vikings and Cowboys for us to text back and forth, I'm going to feel like part of my, like, soul is gone. And I that seems so strong to somebody. But I feel like I can say that being that I'm still being affected by this disease. But, like, it, I don't know, man. Like, I'm really scared about it.
Well, I know you...
I'm worried about our jobs and all that
stuff.
Well,
I understand. I don't think sports are going to go away. And, you know, you told me you went to your doctor, what, Thursday or Friday before we came down here just to double check to make sure, hey, I'm gaining, but it's really, really, really slow. And he said, you're going to be fine. You just need to tough it out. But I'm thinking, how do you make players play when... and I want them to play. I don't know. A month ago, I was more convinced than they're right now. And are there going to be more injuries because of the lack of practice? I don't know. I've got season tickets for football. I got season tickets for men's basketball. And I'm going to have season tickets for women's basketball. And I'm not sure I'm going to see any of them. And selfishly, if I can watch it on television – that'll be fine, but I'm not sure that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I'm just worried, man. Like, I just got, you got a lot of friends, and I wish we could find a way. I hope we can find a way to do it even without fans or whatever. I think it. I got criticized a lot, especially by the left, politically. Do you remember when I said about? God, I don't know how long ago it was. That I thought a lot of these professional athletes, I use the quote that they had a moral responsibility to try and get back, but I believe sports is a unifier ultimately. Even if, you know, the kneeling for the flag and all that stuff can potentially divide, I this is where I'll think glass half full, Dad. Like, I'll say that I think it's a unifier in the sense that you're bringing, look at our Bubba Wallace situation in NASCAR. Like, how many new people have been brought into our sport that probably hadn't felt welcome before.
Yep.
And now they do. And to me, like, that's great. Like, I don't want NASCAR to be what you and me went to at the 1995 Brickyard 400 when we would, you know, some of the stuff that you'd see, right? Like, I don't want my favorite sport to be known for that. And I think it can be a unifier. And, like, that's where I really think that our country's missing sports.
Well, I do. And, you know, there's so many good things that come out of sports. And to me, if you really love sports and you have a favorite team and your favorite team does well, but that other team's trying to win also, and they're going to make plays during that game, and I might not stand up and cheer, but I love sports, and there's always going to be a winner and a loser. And if you give your effort and it turns out good and you end up getting beat by a better team, I have no problem.
Yeah, I'm scared. I was telling Ashley on the way down here, just talking about it, and take all the, you know, economy stuff away. I don't know what I'll, even like Friday nights without Bondurant's lights being on, couple blocks away from me, that, like, to me, the COVID thing's always been real. I've never been a denier. Hell, I got the damn thing and lived through it. I was afraid for my wife and daughters to get it, but that's when it's gonna really hit me in the gut, even more so than having it, you know. And there's other people listening to this who've lost their businesses or lost their jobs where they're like, well, I felt it in March.
Yeah.
But the football thing, I think, is really going to shake a lot of trees.
But let's say they do play football and you don't have fans in there. You're not selling concessions.
No.
Those people don't have a job. The places selling shirts, and they're not going to sell near as many. And it's just a
– like the hotels. NFL teams and all their PR interns and people who are supported by that stuff.
Yep.
It's quite the deal.
And there's a lot of things that's probably going to go under in 6 months or less.
Yeah.
You know, if we have another big shutdown, and I don't have the answers, but – this country's running on fumes, and it's just one thing after another. And, you know, there are, aren't there quite a few NBA players that are backing out not to play?
Yeah.
And I haven't heard of any NFL players.
Yeah, I get criticized for this, but, like, the NBA deal, like, to me, again, like, I don't think these guys should be punished for not playing. Like, whatever, it's a personal choice. But that it's different than college.
Yeah,
you can't have
is.
The same conversation. That's their jobs.
No, it is.
And, like, I felt like my job every day during this was to go to the radio station and put on a show for these people who need it. I'm not comparing myself to Kawhi Leonard. Don't take me out of context there. Because Kawhi Leonard has to leave his family and be in a literal bubble for X amount of weeks. But, like, to me, I wish more of these guys would step up and say what Mark Cuban said, that we need to get out there and give our country something to smile about. I wish more of these guys had that mindset. And maybe more of them do, and those guys just aren't speaking out. I don't know. But to me, I have very strong opinions about that. And again, I've gotten hammered for that opinion. I'm sure there's people listening to right now who will disagree with me, but I've seen it. I've seen the healing in sports. I've seen it in my favorite sport recently with the Bubba Wallace deal. Now, that turned ugly.
Yep.
And now Bubba Wallace somehow is like a political punchline, and it makes me sick to my stomach. But I've also seen it, like, man, when he got out of that race car at Talladega and ran over to those African-American fans, many of them young.
He's going to come out a winner on this. He already has.
I want Rick Hendrick to hire him.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great. Put him in the 48. I don't know. Do you remember the Subway Series or the World Series after 9/11?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just remember all these, like, sporting events that...
But now we have that same thing, and it's divided. It's not unified at all. It's either black or white and nothing in between, and...
Most of the world work in gray area, though?
Well,
I mean, you're 65. You just retired. You've had a successful, like, you've built up a nice nest egg to retire on. You have a beautiful family. Like, doesn't the world work in gray areas?
Well, I think more so with the media stuff. I think they're going and you know, anymore, back when I grew up, you might think something, but you might not say it.
Yeah.
And now
everybody
says whatever, and it really, I'm not giving up, but I'm really disappointed because I don't like what I'm seeing. And you can argue or disagree. I don't have a problem with that, but sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
What would Grandpa be saying right now?
Oh, my goodness.
If he were here with us.
You know, you think I'm old school. You know, back then, the country just, they all worked together. And I've said this for years, I'm tired of politics and politics. And seems like there's not, I disagree. I don't think a lot of them, you're either on the white or the black side, and there ain't any gray area. And they don't want to concede. And, you know, we can look out this window right now and say, it's nighttime. And if we're talking into politics, he said, no,
but
the sunshine.
But a Democrat would be like, no, it's sunny.
And I said, no, we need to agree. It's nighttime.
Yeah.
And
it just makes you sick. And then you know that they don't even believe it half the time.
Yeah. So right now, and we've been down here, we came down Sunday.
Yep.
And I haven't noticed.
Watched a great race Sunday, by the way.
Yeah, we did.
Old Custer.
That was fantastic.
It was
always
awesome.
Nice to see someone new. Now, I haven't noticed anything that's been political. But I've also noticed...
What about all those Trump flags we've been seeing?
Well, now
I haven't seen
just,
a Biden one.
But he didn't come over and shake it in your face. He just kept on going.
There's been a lot of them on the flagpoles, but you expect it down here.
Actually,
I don't care. It does not offend me at all.
No, but I'm talking to politics. I mean... And, you know, we'll see someone walking on their pathway when we're going to our boat, and there hasn't been any negative.
God, no. Yeah,
or
no.
Whatever. And
but isn't that the point, though, that, like, the majority of rational humans, if you just sit down and talk, you're not going to be at each other's throats, but in a 140 character tweet or a pardon my French, but a goddamn Facebook post.
Oh yeah.
Well, like all of a sudden, it's pretty easy to like puff up your chest and, you know, but mother F your neighbor, where like you would never do that to a person's face.
No, you're sitting in mom's basement and nobody knows who you're at. You can talk pretty tough.
Yeah.
And I'm the type of person that if we disagree, we can sit down.
Just talk about it.
And hash it out.
That's what normal people do.
Come to agreement.
Yeah.
And go on. And that's where we got to clean this up.
You're so right, though, on the one side being like, it's light out. No, it's dark.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. No, you're an idiot. You're fake news.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't believe in science.
Yeah.
It's just so predictable. All right. Well,
I will.
Been good to pick your brain.
I there's two things. I think you and Ross have done a wonderful job the last 3 or 4 months, because you're doing stuff on the radio that you weren't trained to do. But I think you've done
well, Ross was.
Well, now, and but Ross...
Ross has chilled out a lot over the years.
I tell you what, I really, really like Ross. I like him a heck of a lot more than I did the first day you started. You know, and he was yeah. just a little bit, but he grows on you.
Yeah.
Like the algae.
Ashley's the same way.
Like an algae in the bottom of a boat when down here.
Yep.
But after a while, hey, it's really not bad.
It's like that Seinfeld episode, the Costanza.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
No, but he's the man. I want to have him on as a guest sometime. Like, Ross has turned into, like, from a coworker to a blood brother, man. Like,
well, I think he would do anything for you.
I know he would, and I would do the same.
And, the most scariest thing of this whole episode, after we got the call, and we knew, or we thought we knew before you got tested, and then by the time you got tested, you were well into it. But the scariest I was is when, as dedicated as you are, you tried to help out, did some radio during that first week, and I heard you on the radio. And you're literally almost gasping for air.
Yeah, that was not a good decision.
And
I probably should have taken a week off.
But I knew then and there that, okay, my baby boy, he ain't kidding. And I think, you know, you're gutting it out this week, and you're doing okay.
It's just so hard because you don't want to let people down.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, my wife, it's just, like, it's so hard because, like, the amount of energy you normally have in a tank with 2 kids under 5, you don't have. And then you don't want to, like, you know, like, I can't go the way I normally do down here with you guys. That's the hardest part. You constantly feel like you're worthless.
You know, you're around family. They love you, and we're doing what we want. And, you know, we've got a wide variety of age. And we're making it work. So I wish the country just listened to that.
How many generations have you been down to this lake with? Did you come down with your grandpa?
No, not my grandpa. But
no? Okay.
I was 8 or 10 years old. And
So your Grandpa Bob and Grandma Jean.
Yep. And then
you.
And then I.
Me and Jenny.
Yeah. And then my older brother, I got him interested in a boat. And they came down here for several years.
Yeah.
And Nick and Jenny got married, and I let them bring their boat,
down. Their honeymoon spot.
On their honeymoon spot. And then we have come down here as a family. I mean,
So 4 generations you've been bringing down here, though.
And when we first started to come, when we were at the 10-mile marker, back in a cove, and there was like 10 or 12 little cabins, Fergie's Hideaway, and trees all the way around that. And now if you go down that same cove, I can still see those little, it's not the same, they've sold them out as really modest little homes, but it looks kind of like it did way back then, and then that whole cove is just built there. You couldn't put a shed back there. It's so full.
Now, don't take this the wrong way, because I don't mean it in a negative way. I actually really respect it. You're kind of a meat and potatoes type guy. Like, once you find something you like, you're like, okay, I'm pretty comfortable with it. Two-part question here. What do you love so much about this place? And part, because you have the means to be able to be like, oh, let's go to Europe for a month. Or let's go and deep sea fish in Florida, or let's go tour California. But you prefer it here. So, like, what do you love so much about this place?
Well, you know, I grew up in a family, but we weren't rich.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't average. We were neighbors to poor.
Yeah.
And my mom and dad, I had a sister and three other brothers. And we would come down here and got to do, and we came down here starting out with a 14-foot boat and a 30-horse motor. And we thought we were the King of England. And we'd go 10 miles to the dam, and we thought we were crossing the ocean.
Yeah.
And
because the waves were so big.
Yeah, and I had so much fun. And then every year we come back, and Chris, we do the same thing every freaking year.
Mm-hmm.
There's no change. It's just,
Monday we go to the dam.
Oh, yeah. And I asked my kids, the grandkids come down, what are we doing Monday? Well, we got to go to the dam. Isn't that tradition? And in the sightseeing, the what you see, and you're out. I love the boat. I got a pontoon, so we give up the high horsepower for.
That was the sacrifice you made for the family.
Yes.
Because you wanted everybody to be able to fit on the same boat, right?
And actually, well, my daughter, she says when I bought it, and I did it for my wife, she'd put up, and she says, we need a bigger boat.
Nana's, she's a older soul.
Yep.
We love her.
And you know, I figured, well, she's done a lot for me. So we bought the pontoon. And my daughter, she just cussed me up. She says, that's for old people. And the first year we brought it down, and she rides in her, and her husband's got a boat with his twin brother. And so she rides them the first day, and the next day she gets in with me, and she never got back in their boat the rest of the week. And I'm not the fastest boat on the lake, but we went out the other day with 11 of us and got along just fine. So I'm kind of a traditionalist. We come down here, and you know, there's still new building going on, but if you just enjoy seeing stuff, and there's a lot of money down here. Whoa, a lot of money. But you can come down here and have a really nice time, and you know, there's so many different restaurants on the water. Now, we're not doing that this year, but you can go out and you can come down here for 5 years and never eat in the same place twice.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it's impressive.
So we do, you know, kind of the same thing, but it's still fun. And Jenny's husband was a farm boy. He'd never gone on a vacation, and he came down with us twice and must have thought the family's okay, so he married into it. And now he's quite a boater. You kids grew up 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And we never missed a year, and you grew up. You were 14 years old before you get on a boat without falling asleep.
I need some parenting advice. Ashley, you can come over and join this conversation if you want. She's out on the deck with us. No, she says she's good. Okay. I need you to give me some father-to-son advice on vacationing with young children. It's not a vacation. As my great friend Keith Murphy told me over the weekend, it's a trip.
Well, it could be.
What do I do? What am I doing wrong?
Well, you know, you just need to, I'm going to steal one from Matt Campbell. You need to trust the process.
What the hell is the process to this?
It's like, okay, you didn't come.
Campbell didn't invent that, by the way. He stole that from other people.
Well, I don't care, but said it, I'm going with him. I love Matt.
He'll probably listen to this. So
okay, but we've done things a little different this time than you didn't come the last 2 years, but we'd have made it work. And we keep adjusting. My daughter's.
So you got to adapt to your team.
Oh God. Yes. You got to see where your strengths are and your weaknesses. But
yeah, you can't be like, this is my system. I've got to, you've got to fit the system, the team. You've got to adapt to the team.
Yep. So Dr. Ashley might've solved one problem tonight when we did the cleaning out, we had one plugged.
Oh, yeah, we put the suppository in the baby.
And that might be big the rest of the week. But
that happens. The baby gets plugged up a lot. That's just part of the deal.
The thing is, though, is what I would say is you don't try and keep up with us. We need to adjust back and still do it as a unit. And we'll come out of the winter.
That's a good way to put it. All right, if you enjoyed Dad's contributions to the podcast, we're going to be doing a Cyclone Fanatic podcast at the Cyclone Fanatic feed later in the week, and we're going to talk Iowa State football. But this has been about an hour, Dad. I hope you enjoyed it.
I love it.
We got to do more of these.
I enjoyed every moment of it. We did one out in Colorado.
Yep.
And Brent Bloom was with us.
We did that one with Bloom.
Was that 3 years ago?
3 years ago. It was right when Crystal was pregnant with Everett.
And that was down at the Lake of the Ozarks. So we're going to do one without Brent, but he's going to be in our memories, okay? Yep.
All right. We'll do that later in the week. Love you, Dad.
All right. We'll see you.
We'll see you. Thanks for listening, everybody. Please rate, subscribe, review, do all that stuff. We're trying to build up listenership to this thing. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Later.